now.
I don't know who he is behind that mask of his, but I do know when we need him. And we need him now.
I'll call him, sir.
For some reason, the cool bars in Hollywood have to be hard to find and have no sign.
This is the Cocktail Nation.
This week on the show, we chat to James Spencer about his fantastic biography on Les Baxter. We head to the blogosphere with a cool blog for the gals to check out. Cherry Capri's got some advice on how to treat your new neighbours. Plus news on an old TV franchise that's being brought back for Netflix and one that is brand new that you just have to check out. Here's the Louisville Sluggers now from Sydney and time for swinging on the Cocktail Nation.
He knocked on my door. I didn't want to see him, but I was feeling poor, and it's so enriching. What shall I do to cure this feeling? I was so confused, but now it's time for swinging. He was at the club, the one I walked in. Oh, it was full of men. Hands were shaking. I went to the bar to get a bourbon. He said to me, just what the hell are you doing? So I brushed him off and kept on moving to hit the floor and start up grooving. My knees went weak.
This is the Cocktail Nation.
Thanks to ultraswank.net.
Thank you.
Cocktail Nation, Tiki Lounge Crew and Copa Del Mar. What a sweet little pad that sounds like. Join me on the line is Jim Spencer. Congratulations on your brand new book, your biography of Les Baxter. When I read this book, I didn't expect that it was going to be so big and so detailed with so much information. This is absolutely incredible. Congratulations.
Thank you so much, Coop. Yes, you know, it's so interesting because this has been about almost 20 years of research and, you know, background. A little bit of how this all started, too, is going back to 1991, I was working on a double master's in music in piano and vocal performance at Cal State Fullerton. And at the time, I was coming out of a really pretty prolific period of entertainment. I was like really playing everywhere. I had a new wave band. We were touring around the world. I came back. I had done some cruise ship. And then I was settling into school. I was renting a little house in the Back Bay area of Newport Beach. And I was performing to supplement my income for school all over the, you know, Southern Orange County. And so I was playing at several places, the Ritz restaurant, which was down in Fashion Island. I was playing on Lido Island. And what happened is, I have to say, this is when I was just starting to learn about the lounge music and exotica. So it was just, you know, it was sort of just kind of becoming the underground scene, you know, in Orange County. And I, to be honest, at the time, I knew very little about Les Baxter, except that he wrote Quiet Village. That's about all I knew. And what happened is one night I was performing at the Ritz, which is this lovely restaurant. And this, you know, man comes in, you know, and he's a lot older, so I don't recognize that as Les Baxter because he's, you know, much older now, a little bit more pudgy, you know, so far. And I'm actually playing some exotic piano. I'm playing, when he came into the restaurant, I was playing a song called Speak Low, which is one of my favorite Kurt Weill pieces. And he came up to me and he says, I really like your playing. It's sort of tropical exotica. And I said, oh, well, thank you. I said, do you know that song? And he goes, oh, yeah, I recorded that with Capitol many years ago. And I'm like, well, who are you? And he goes, Les Baxter.
Yeah.
And at the time, I didn't really know the name that well. I go, I've heard that. Where did I hear that? I didn't remember. And then I think it was, I go, oh, yes, Quiet Village. Mm. And he goes, you wrote that, didn't you? And he goes, yes. And so I played Quiet Village for him because I knew it, you know. And we started talking. And we just really hit it off because I'm a classical player. And we talked about, you know, this is one thing I wanted to say, which a lot of people maybe don't understand about exotica, is that it really has its origins. If you look at the three big artists of exotica, which I would consider Les Baxter, Martin Denny, Robert Drazen, you know, all three of them were classically trained musicians, studied classical composition, and specifically, a lot of exotica comes out of two traditions, that of the French Impressionists, specifically Claude Debussy and Maurice Ravel, and the Primitivists, specifically Igor Stravinsky, you know. And so he says, well, what are you doing with school? We started talking like, oh, I'm doing my, you know, bachelor's recital. I'm playing, Debussy and Ravel. He's like, oh, my God, you know. And he's like, I need to hear you, you know. And we started to, it turns out at the time he was living in Corona del Mar. His daughter, Leslie, who now has become a very close friend of mine, was living in Lido, only a few blocks from another place I was performing. That's when I really just became fanatical, obviously, about the music, and I started collecting. And so I had a friend named Daniel who did record shows, and I started to collect all the albums. That's when I kind of got, you know, started. And what was interesting with Les is, of course, you know, I learned a lot from him musically. He was actually an incredible pianist. So we would sit and play duets, and, you know, I never really studied composition with him, but, you know, we had this friendship, but I was in school full time. So, you know, I never ever made it up to Palm Springs to his home. I never, you know, we would just get together mostly in restaurants, or he would come to my place, or, you know, and so forth. And then what happened is, you know, towards the end was very difficult. And what a lot of people maybe didn't know about Les is that after the second president of Capitol came in, which was around the time of Jewels of the Sea in 61, you know, he left Capitol. And there were certain things that started to happen where, you know, all the rumors that you've heard them, they're in the book, of, you know, ghost writing, and, you know, other people wrote his music, and this really started to hurt him mentally. And by the, you know, and as, you know, projects became less and less, by the 80s, they were drying up. But part of it was also, in my opinion, his self-reclusion. He kind of felt injured and pulled back. And so when I met him, he was, I'm just going to say it, I love him, but he was sort of living like Norma Desmond. You know, he kind of stayed to himself. He enjoyed eating out. That was his big thing for him. And margaritas, which I talk about in the book, that's like our big thing. You know, we go out for margaritas all the time. And, you know, it was sad because as an entrepreneurial person myself, I'm like, Les, you are Les Baxter.
Yeah.
Why aren't you writing music for a television series? Mm. Why aren't you still? And I think he just withdrew, you know, from, and that was really hard. And then towards the end, very, very hard for me because I saw him sort of as a second dad. I love my dad. Yeah, I mean, my dad's awesome, but my dad just very different than me. He was from country music. He really didn't like jazz. He really didn't follow the lounge scene. So, and you know, Les and I had a lot in common, obviously, musically, you know. So then I just kind of, you know, towards the end, you know, he was on dialysis, and I went to his, he was in a care facility near Hoke Hospital, and the end, it was really difficult, you know, to see that way. But what was interesting is even when he was losing his memory, he always responded to music. Mm-hmm. And it was funny how I don't want to say funny, but like he would look at me and not know who I was towards the end. Yeah. And yet I could put C on and he would be, ah, La Mer. He knew exactly the music, like the music was always going through him in his mind. You know what I mean? He connected so deeply. And that gave me comfort with him towards the end, you know. And then what happened is many years went by, and, you know, I never had a contact for his daughter, Leslie, until your show. And then all of a sudden, started connecting. What I started with, which was interesting, is, you know, I talked to Leslie to try to find out information on, you know, Les's parents, his grandparents, his uncles, the family. And what turned out to be a great find is the family was originally from Texas. Les was born in a little area called Mejia, and the parents were born in an area called Sherman. Now, Sherman is interesting. I wrote about it in the book, where it was really a bandit town where, near the original Baxter Farm in the late 1800s, was where Jesse James was staked out.
This book is, there is so much information. I mean, more information than we could possibly talk about tonight. But the research that you've put into this is just incredible. And for those of us who are, you know, fans of this music, I tell you what, it's the ultimate book. I mean, you cannot fault it. Before we get into some music, I do want to say your personal story of your relationship with Les Baxter is just very touching, particularly towards the end, and it's almost a little bit biographical for you as well. So it's just an amazing emotional roller coaster.
It is, and I have to say, I've never in my, and that's why I almost didn't want to write the book, and I have to really thank my friends David Gaston and Jeff Chenault and people that kind of urged me to write it, because it was personal, and it's the first time I've ever allowed myself to be vulnerable in a book, you know? Yeah. But I felt like truth, and, you know, I have to say the response has been so touching. I have literally got, you know, hundreds of emails like, oh, I've been waiting for this book for 20 years. Thank you so much. Everything, you know, so far with that, like, you know, people have been wanting it, and it needed to be done. I feel like, if it's been 20 years and nobody's, you know, written it yet. I heard my voice in the background. He always says, "Get her done, boy." So if I said I'm gonna write, I have to write it, you know. And I'm glad I did. And the response has been wonderful. And it's also brought me closer with a lot of people from your show. So I've become like really close friends with Jeff and other people. And I always say this: it takes a quiet village. That's sort of my saying. And it really does, and I have to say I couldn't have done this book without the help of so many people, you know, like Leslie and Jeff and other people. You know, it's been great. Yeah.
Well, and I want to thank you as well for your thanks of me to me in the beginnings part of your book as well. So I appreciate that.
Of course, absolutely.
Speaking of Quiet Village, let's kick off now with Quiet Village. Tell us a little bit about your thoughts on this song from 1951.
You know, that's his number one, you know, most famous song, you know, and of course that is considered the anthem of Exotica. And I will say this, though, is he pulls a lot of the devices, which I talked about in the book, from Impressionism and the primitive classical composers, you know, so it is a masterpiece.
It is indeed. Yeah. Quiet Village from The Ritual of the Savage from 1951 on the Cocktail Nation.
Thank you.
Nation.
This is the Cocktail Nation.
Tall and tan and young and handsome, the boy from Ipanema goes walking, and when he passes, each girl he passes goes, ah. When he walks, he's like a samba that swings so cool and sways so gentle that when he passes, each girl he passes goes, ah. Oh, but I watch him so sadly. How can I tell him I love him? He looks straight ahead, not at me. Tall and tan and young and handsome, the boy from Ipanema goes walking, and when he passes me, I smile. Oh, I watch him so sadly. Tell him I love him. I would give my heart gladly. But each day when he walks to the sea, he looks straight ahead, not at me. Tall and tan and young and handsome, the boy from Ipanema goes walking, and when he passes me, I smile. But he's so cool and calm and so collected, makes a girl feel a bit neglected. That boy from Ipanema doesn't see me.
The Cocktail Nation, music of your life.
Cocktail Nation with the City of Prague Philharmonic Orchestra and the tune Lost in Space. The reason I played that is because some news this week, which I've put up on our Cocktail Nation Lounge Life magazine. I've got some links up on my website, cocktailnation.net, if you'd like to check it out. It is a Flipboard magazine. That Netflix is putting together a reboot of the 1965 science fiction drama Lost in Space. It's picked up the show for a 10-episode first season, which should start streaming in 2018. The original Lost in Space, of course, aired in 1965 on CBS, and it ran for 83 episodes. Pretty amazing. How will this one go? Well, remember back in 1998, we had one starring William Hurt and Matt LeBlanc, and it didn't do so well. So I'm wondering how this one will go. We'll see. Time for Dear Cherry now. She's talking about New Neighbours.
The girl who gives good advice, sugar and spice. Dear Cherry, Cherry Curry.
Moving is one of the more taxing things to do in life. So when you see the moving trucks next door, consider making your new neighbors feel welcome in the neighborhood. First of all, figure out if it's singles, a family, newlyweds, or retirees moving in. Wait until they've had a day or two to settle in. Then go introduce yourself with a welcome gift. A gift certificate for your local coffee house. It's great for a single. Or a little herb plant. Some fresh basil or oregano is very thoughtful for a retiree. If you see they have a dog or other pet, a welcome gift could be a special treat for Fido or Kitty. A family might appreciate getting a schedule of upcoming events at the local library. You do not need to tell them your whole life story. Just let them know the natives are friendly. And perhaps offer to host them for a casual lunch or barbecue on an upcoming holiday weekend. Before you know it, you might be more than neighbors. You'll be friends.
Yeah, she's our favorite bon ami, dear Cherry, Cherry Curry.
America's queen of modernism, manners, and mirth, CherryCapri.com.
Hello, baby.
The Cocktail Nation.
Thank you.
This is the Cocktail Nation.
Wild thing, you make my heart sing. You make everything groovy. Come on, a wild thing. A wild thing. You make my heart sing. You make everything groovy. Come on, a wild thing. A wild thing, I think you move me. But I gotta know for sure. So come on, hold me tight. Wild thing, I think you move me. Wild thing, you make my heart sing. You make everything groovy. Come on, a wild thing. A wild thing, I think you move me. Gotta know for sure. So come on and hold me tight. A wild thing, I think you move me. My heart sing. You make everything groovy. Come on, a wild thing. Wild thing. You make my heart sing. Wild thing, wild thing, wild thing. Wild thing.
Thank you.
Cocktail Nation with Chet Baker there, and Strings with You Better Go Now. Akadakaris before that, and Wild Thing, and the Martini Kings, You Only Live Twice. You know, I don't really love the fact at all that technology often seems to know what you like. You know, Facebook will often make suggestions of people that you have somehow had some sort of connection with, and you're thinking, but why? How? What? Do I need to click something to stop doing it? Stop anticipating my every move, Google. The other night, I turned on Netflix, and the first thing that popped up, and I think it was as a result of me watching, re-watching The Man from U.N.C.L.E., a TV show called A Very Secret Service. It is a French comedy. It's set in the 1960s. It's touted as a mashup of Bond films and The Office, with hints of OSS 117, Cairo, Nest of Spies, and Lost in Rio. And I tell you what, I am so glad that Netflix did actually suggest this to me. It is fantastic. Now, I've got to tell you, it is subtitled, so you won't be able to be watching TV and looking at your device at the same time. You will actually have to focus on a TV show, which is actually a really cool thing. So check it out. It's very, very funny. It's 1960, the France of Charles de Gaulle, a country whose colonial power is rapidly in decline, and delusions of grandeur still reign. It's fantastic. So if you get a chance, do have a look at this. It's a bit of a surprise that it's on Netflix. It's called A Very Secret Service. Trust me, you'll absolutely love it. Some shout-outs for this week. John Eugenio, John Barr, Mark Trezor, and Gardner Christensen. Thanks for listening, and thanks for being in touch this week. Time for a look at the world of swank. Now, pastimealbumclocks.com, the Maikai has your first chance to buy the book Maikai, History and Mystery of the Iconic Tiki Restaurant by Tim Swanky Glasner, and you can have it signed as well. Coming up September 17 in Fort Lauderdale. Tiki Oasis, August 18. If you'd like some more details on any of the gigs and to find some more, simply check out my website, cocktailnation.net. Back into the music right now, Pat Longo and Rhapsody in Blue.
Hello there.
The Cocktail Nation. Music for your bachelor pad.
Mr. Ho's Orchestra and Dancing in the Dark, Liberace before that, and Tico Tico. Now, people often say to me, Cooper, where do you buy your clothing from? Where do you buy your shirts and your pants and things like that from? Well, I go to a little place in Sydney called Retrospect. Here's the website, Retrospect, S-P-E-C-D, retrospect.com. Why do I go there? Well, the fact is, I love the fact that I can actually try on clothes. Sharon Hanley and Tina Borg have been doing this for a long, long time. They know exactly what they're doing. And they bring in the very best quality clothes. You can look at these clothes, you can feel the quality of them, and they last. They last a long time. I've got three of their shirts that I've been wearing almost on a weekly basis for the last 5 years. And nothing has gone wrong. Not a stitch is out of place. They're comfortable. And the colours, well, I'll tell you what, they look as good is the day I bought them. So check them out today. Retrospect, that's RetroSpecd, retrospect.com, because they also provide an online service as well. You can grab your clothes online. They will post anywhere in the world. Check them out today. Now, quick note that over the next coming weeks, I've got something very, very special lined up for you. Now, as we heard tonight, James Spencer on the show, I've got another interview with James Spencer. Now, this is the longer version of the interview that I did with him this evening. This will go for around about half an hour to an hour, a whole special show. Now, this is going to be only for podcast listeners only, so you will have to subscribe to the iTunes if you'd like to make sure you get it, or certainly keep an eye on my website, cocktailnation.net. Plus, an additional show in the coming weeks as well. I've got a special Evenings at the Penthouse show lined up, podcast only, in which all the music will be Liz Baxter. So that's all coming up. This is Julie Lyon Quartet now, All or Nothing at All on the Cocktail Nation.
love, there is no in between. Why begin and sigh about something that might have been? No, I'd rather have nothing at all. So please don't put your lips so close to my cheek. Don't smile around it, lost beyond recall. The kiss in your eyes, the touch of your hand makes me weak, and my heart will grow dizzy and fall. And if I fell under the spell, I would be lost in the undertow. So you see, I've got to say no, 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 all or nothing at all. All or nothing at all.
Broadcasting across the globe with Copper, this is the Cocktail Nation.
Donation with Lounge Lady Coop Cooper and Kahuna Kwentisman in Carver Village.
This is Deep Space Mission 9. We're now entering the blogosphere of the Cocktail Nation.
Up to the blogosphere, and a very cool girl by the name of Alice. She comes from New Zealand, and she's got a lovely page, which I think is more for the gals, because there's a lot of focus on dresses here. It's Miss Flossie Potts. WordPress.com. And besides being fantastic to check out what's going on in New Zealand, this gal has got a great sense of style, and I love the fact that she actually explains where she got her bits and pieces from, and how you can achieve that look as well. But a nice, authentic look. Worth checking it out. It's Miss Flossie Potts. WordPress.com. And when we came across via the Glory Days magazine, which is just superb, and yours truly will be featured in that magazine very, very soon. Check it out today. Next week on the show, we've got some classic comedy coming your way. I'm going to leave you with Tikiaki Orchestra now and Mai Tais on the Moon. Stay hip.